Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Yes, guys, welcome back to the Full Time Devils podcast, iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Audio Boom, YouTube, wherever you're tuned in today. Thank you very much for joining us. Make sure you're rating, subscribing, reviewing, liking, and all that jazz. Today, we are joined by myself, Adam McCullough, Jay, Andy Tate, and of course, Gaz Drinkwater is in the house as well. Getting closer to the deadline. Obviously, when you're listening to this, the deadline might have passed by now, but we're getting closer to the deadline as we record this. And as it stands, we're knocking back bids for Smalling. We're not signing anyone else. Harry Maguire was the last bit of business. Lads, how are we all feeling about it all?
What do you reckon the chances are that we sign someone else in the next 48 hours or less than 48 hours?
It's about...
Or is it 36 20, hours?
25 hours. Well, 28 hours we've got now.
28 hours left of the transfer window.
I don't know, man. I think there might be a little twist in the tail there.
I had this weird feeling that there's defo a midfielder coming, and but now we're too late.
Now, people listening to this after deadline is deluded. Listen to them. But I don't know. I think there might be someone. We need someone, obviously. We all know that. Yeah. But I think there might be another midfielder come out of it. We just wasted, 12 hours on Eriksen?
What was that about?
Was that nonsense?
Is this Dybala and Eriksen?
Bored on a Monday.
Dybala and Eriksen, though,
let's try and get Eriksen
ones.
For a bit.
They were going for a little bit, and then they just vanished completely. And now they're telling us both of those deals are off. But how can Lukaku? What's the situation with Lukaku then? Because if Inter don't come in for him and he still goes Juventus, then what are they going to give us some money for him, or is it going to be a swap deal still?
Whatever happens with Lukaku now, once the window closes, if he goes, we're not replacing him.
No.
And that's a big problem for United.
Yeah, agree.
Do you think, with the whole Lukaku thing, can you see... Because Italy's window shuts after ours, doesn't it?
September the 2nd, I think.
So,
but September.
Still a three-week window for Europe, isn't it?
Do you think that maybe Inter or ever thinking, right, we'll get him after the English window shuts, we can still get him, sort of thing? But I think he's just being a bit of a muppet because he thinks, well...
He is
I'll
a muppet.
Just force it.
What does he need to do to force it? We've already clearly accepted that he's leaving.
But, like, obviously the money...
If Inter can't pay for you, then sorry, mate, you got to stay where you are. And the thing that I'm unhappy with, we hear people talk about Paul Pogba and whatnot. And he probably wanted to transfer this summer. I'm not going to say he probably doesn't want to play for Man United, because I believe deep down somewhere he wants to play for Manchester United. But he wants to leave United for the sake of winning trophies. We're not going to be winning trophies anytime soon, unfortunately. Well, you know, we might win the league this season, but that's a little bit of a push.
You've got us down for the quadruple, aren't you?
Yeah, don't ruin the preview for the people at home. We did a season preview earlier.
Three cups. That'd be nice.
So I just feel Lukaku's just taking the piss a little bit. And I just think Pogba, yeah, great with him. You know, it's not ideal. He wants to leave. But he's got his head down, not missed a session in pre-season, kept going. And if he's still a Man United player, I have no doubt he'd work hard for us. I used to think Lukaku was that kind of guy. Mm. You know, because when his form was out the window, when fans were on his back, when, you know, he was getting picked out wide or whatever, he's still putting a shift for us a little bit. And I just feel he's just a bit of a prick.
Do you know what? You're right, because I remember Lukaku, me and Tommy were sitting with Old Trafford, always joke about the fact that, you know, when you chant his name, he'd acknowledge it almost all the time. Yeah. Like, you know, like, he'd wave to the fans. Like, strikers don't normally do that because they get chanted quite a lot. Like, Rooney never did it. Or very rarely. But look, I used to like give you a wave and all that. Like, you could see he looked grateful. Like, you say he looked hungry. Mm. He'd try, you know, no matter, even if his touch and all the rest of it was letting him down, he looked like a player who gave a shit. When we scored, he'd go mad celebrating. He looked like he cared. So it really surprises me the way he's gone about it, because I think his attitude and the way he's gone, he's acted with the stuff he's been posting on social media stinks.
I think maybe Ollie's just said to him, if you're going to be here this season, you're going to be a first team. You're not going to be a first teamer. You're not going to be in the 11 every week. And he just cannot wrap his head around that.
I think that's fair, though.
Look at my goal scoring record. Like, look, I've done it at the top level. I've done it at the World Cup. I've done it for Belgium. And then you're like, yeah, but did you actually watch your games back last season at times? There were times last season where he didn't even look like a proper footballer.
I know this. I've said this on the podcast before. I don't think Ollie handled him very well. In terms of his playing him. He played him, he dropped him, right, which is fair enough, because Marcus and Martial was obviously his preferred, and Jesse was preferred three or whatever. He brought him back in. He scored. I think he scored six in three games, didn't he? Then he dropped him. Then he was playing, like, almost out wide. Didn't really get a chance. And I was like, he just don't think he's been managed that well in terms of, like, I thought when we needed him, when he deserved the game, he didn't get one. But there's no excuse for the way he's been acting.
What do you make of Lukaku, Andy?
I think he's dug himself a grave now, and he's going to have to lie in it if he can't leave in the next 24 hours. And he'll be moaning all season, and he's not being professional about it. He's just not being professional. Professional players knuckle down, get on with it. Like I say, Pogba wants to go, but he's been professional, he's getting on with it, and... Lukaku, like I say, he's dug a grave for himself, lying it. Got no sympathy for him at all.
I think I'd agree. I think he's just got to put up with being a bit choice striker for the
next season. Like to see from him is, if we didn't sell him, which I don't think is going to happen now, when you see him training with Anderlecht and all this
What's
kind of stuff.
What's that all about, by the way?
Man, look, from a professional point of view, you can understand it from Lukaku. He wants to stay fit. But also, if you want to stay fit... If you want to stay fit, go back to Carrington.
Yeah.
The problem is, you've, like Andy says, you've made a bed for yourself now where you've been revealing stuff about your teammates that they probably didn't want revealed. You've probably got a bollocking for that from the club.
Definitely, yes.
And now you've your tail's between your legs and you've scarpered back off to Belgium. He just needs to go, I think. But it's a shame, because as a plan B, as a backup option, yeah. I don't think the level of striker is Lukaku is. He should be a backup for anyone. He should be the striker that you kind of build your team around, and that's what he clearly wants. But imagine if we had him as a result, he didn't leave, and we had him as a backup to Rashford, to Martial, coming off the bench, or starting every other game or whatever. That's a great striker to have.
Totally agree.
In your complement of strikers, so. It's a weird one. I'd be more than happy for him to stay, but after all of this, not anymore, really.
Do you think there's an element of what sort of an example is he setting? You've got all these youngsters, we were talking, you know, about the youngsters coming through and all the rest of it. Here's a guy that's just gone about everything the completely wrong way. Pretty much undermined the manager. Spat his dummy out of his teammates. Just been a bit of a muppet on.
He's playing like Falcao did for us, though, and he speaks like he's Latin. It is mental. It is mental. Like it's nuts. I don't know how he goes on. Like, is he got an incredible like, bruv? If you don't see your own first touch, I don't know what is. And I don't like to dig out of that because you know it becomes a little bit of a. A thing where it just becomes that. But it's true as well.
You know, you like to see confidence as well from strikers, especially. You know, they should always think they're men, no matter what fans are saying.
He feels disrespected by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah,
I think he feels you've got a manager.
That's how he feels.
I
think he feels that. I don't think that. I'm not saying, but I think he thinks.
Totally agree.
A manager's coming that probably isn't worth. He probably thinks you're Man United manager. I've just been firmly up Mourinho's ass.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So I think he's seen Ollie come in. He's changed from Lukaku, you're no longer first choice. Rashford and Martial's first choice. And I think he's probably thinking, Rashford don't score as many goals as me. Martial, and he's right to think that because they don't. but they offer more in terms of performance.
Do you see anything into it as well? Like, I don't know, and this is why I'm asking. Do you remember at the Emirates when he passed it to Jesse and Jesse scores? Like, that's mad disrespect, isn't it? Like, that's embarrassing. Do you see anything? Do you think that he is genuinely not liked by his teammates? Because
no.
To be stood there with your arms out and watch your teammate run past you and go and do a dance in the corner flat.
Funniest video.
I think Jesse just had a plan. I think it looked really bad after it, as it unfurled. But I think Jesse knew, I'm going to dance, do this dance.
You've got to put yourself in
the
footballer's shoes.
And Lukaku didn't know that he's going to go and do that dance.
Put yourself in Lingard's body a second and just imagine it. Like, you're not even focusing on Lukaku, you're focusing on the corner.
It just looks bad visually to see him sort of stood there.
If I'm in Jesse Lingard's body, I'm probably DMing Jenna Froomes right now. Sorry.
What? You are?
What? I don't know what you're on about
just
there,
mate. Imagine him being Jesse Lingard.
Lukaku... So Lukaku might be going, but as a backup option, we've still got Mason Greenwood in the team for the next season. How many games can we play a 17?
Is it a mistake we haven't replaced Lukaku, assuming he goes?
Yeah, totally. But it's too late to replace him.
We're forgetting someone else as well, though. We've got Sanchez.
Wow, yeah, I am forgetting someone else.
We are forgetting that, even though he's probably
for good reason.
For good reason, yeah. But we've got two backups in any other team in the world would get into just like that. But we've got, say, two B squads now, aren't they? And we're relying on youngsters to go forward, and that's the way everyone's happy about it.
I mean, we've criticised Sanchez, haven't we? But what do we think of him as a backup option?
It's weird because on paper, Lukaku and Sanchez at one point were the best strikers in the league.
Exactly.
The best strikers in the league.
It's mad, the numbers like with Lukaku. They're still sick. 26, 113 or some Premier League goals. His numbers are incredible.
Like, but he changed the way he plays for United. He's turned into this big lump up top, doesn't move, isn't quick anymore, doesn't use his strength. When Memphis came, he turned into this big, and it's like, bruv, why are you going so hench? Like,
yeah, do you think that was, and I hate doing this, because I think Jose Mourinho becomes a bogeyman for everything sometimes. It's like every problem we have with Jose. But do you think there's an element of Josie tried to make him into a player?
No, because Memphis did that under Van Gaal, but I kind of tried to turn him into Drogba.
Yeah, like you're the sort of like the one that leads the line.
Coach,
you hold it up.
Coach his instinct out of him, maybe.
Instead of playing him nice through balls like he was at Everton, he runs onto, it was let's fire up balls.
But if you remember the first season when Zlatan and Pogba were together.
Yes.
Zlatan should have had 40 goals that season. The way Pogba kept finding him. But the thing with Zlatan was he was moving.
Yeah.
Lukaku does not move. So you can't blame. It's not like we kept pushing the ball out wide and swinging it in on his head because we didn't have the players to cross the ball in anyway. But when Pogba's on the ball, he was never moving.
That telepathy between Pogba and Zlatan, that is what we really miss in this team.
It's mad, isn't it? Like, I think out of all the players United have ever had, I think I've probably got the most rose-tinted glasses for Zlatan because I just look back at him with such fondness and like,
it was rubbish at the end, don't get me wrong. It was rubbish for a month or two at the end.
It was amazing, it was great, but there was a lot of times when you were like...
But what I liked about Zlatan was when he underperformed in terms of goals, assists, maybe just being a misfiring a little bit, he made up for it in movement off the ball, bullying defenders, making it hard for defenders. I don't sound like David Moyes there, but... It's like they were always in a battle, do you know what I mean? He was always digging his elbows into someone.
Do you know what I love about Zlatan, right? He's the only player I've ever seen in my entire life have a shit game and score a hat-trick.
Yeah.
I've never seen anyone do that before, and he did that. Like, if it was a penalty, a free kick and a
tap-in. Against Olympiacos.
Yeah, it was like, it was in the Europa, yeah. Olympia. He had a stinker, and yet he still scored 3 goals in the game, like, which is great, do you know what I mean? It's a sign of, like, a top quality player. If you can, we all know he's landing. We got him a bit late, but just talking about like Lukaku. I was reading an article in The Athletic. Adam Crafton has written something in there, and he was saying that Lukaku and Solskjaer just aren't even talking to each other.
Yeah, I can see that. Like I say, I think that's what it is. When Solskjaer came in, he said, "You're not my number one," and he got really offended by that. Yeah. Which is a shame because Lukaku seems like he is a really intelligent guy. The guy can speak about 26 languages. And you just think he'd understand, he'd be able to watch his performances and understand where he's lacking. And it just seems like it's not even going in, and he's just thinking, oh, fuck
it's
you.
It's a little bit of arrogance as well. I don't even think he'll be in the...
I don't think he'll be anywhere near the stadium. I don't think
he'll
be
like that.
Lukaku, he won't be at the stadium.
Mate,
Sunday.
He'll be in his Anderlecht shirt.
But well, I'll say this, your man will be top goal scorer in Serie A next year.
Do you think, though?
What about Cristiano Ronaldo?
Do you think United were right?
Who's he? Never heard
of
him.
Do you think, with all that in mind...
No, yeah, obviously.
United were right to... pull the plug on the Dybala deal.
Well, I was just going to mention that because Evra's been on, Patrice Evra, we know he's close to Woodward, we know he's close to Oli. He's been on Instagram and he's put out there, for all the football agents around the world, Manchester United will never be your bank account. You come here because you respect the badge and you die and you want to die winning trophies. Has he been, have we seen something going on at United this summer that maybe wouldn't have gone on last summer or the summer before in terms of a Manchester United that has knocked players back they feel aren't in it for the club? And it's weird because obviously footballers are all, it's all jobs, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we've still got footballers left on our cards that probably don't want to be here or are here for the wrong reasons.
There's two ways of looking at it, innit? Because I totally agree. I think we had the deal agreed with Dybala, but he was asking too much money. He didn't seem like he wanted to be here. We said no. I think a similar thing's happened with Eriksen. Reports today saying that he had his heart set on Real Madrid. So Woodward's gone, well, no, you're not coming Man United then.
But Paul Pogba's got his heart set
exactly,
on Real Madrid.
Exactly. Now, there's two ways of looking at it. But you can also look at the way of the players that Manchester City signed from 2008 to 2013. Do you think they wanted to play for Manchester City?
But it's the reasons they were signed. They were signed.
Company
as
silver
part. No, but I'm not... Hear me out. They weren't signed just for the money. We didn't just go there because, oh, here's 100 grand a week. They went there because they had people telling them, this is the project to be a part of. We're building a team that's going to win trophies. At Manchester United, I don't feel there's anyone giving that impression off from the directors, from the board, from outside of the manager and his team. I don't think there's anyone that stinks of success at Manchester United that says, if you join me, we're going to win trophies together. You don't seem to get that impression.
I think that's 2008. I think in my head, in 2008, it was more unlikely that City were going to win the league in the next 5 years than it is now that United are going to win the league in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
I think we can definitely win the league in the next 5 years if we do Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's plan.
Just on that Dybala front, Mitten did an article, read this in The Athletic as well, about it, and he said that... Dybala wanted to be United's second highest paid player behind Sanchez.
So United's top highest paid player, really.
But yet again, Sanchez's wages causing issues.
And it was about the demand so extreme, it threatened to bust even United's wage structure.
That's mad.
Now, I mean, that says it all, doesn't it, really, for starters, that he's asking for that sort of money. We know what happened with Sanchez. We know that caused... Ructions, me and you were talking, well, we were all talking about it, weren't we, Pogba and all the rest of it. But Mittens wrote written that in The Athletic. Now, that's just on the subject of that. I don't know if you heard about The Athletic, they've signed up a few.
The building, like, it's like they're building a dream team of journalists, aren't they?
I think Ornstein, Mitten, Adam Crofton's gone over there. There's quite a few over there. Now, we've actually teamed up with them a little bit because you don't know, not
really. They're signing
about
me.
Signing Adam McCullough on a 4-year contract. He's not on quite on the same money as Dybala.
Best mates with Fergie.
That was a weird experience.
Hey,
what's
going on?
He even sounded like me for just a couple of seconds.
I was like, weird, man. Who needs... We can stop putting Andy Taylor on the podcast. We'll just get Market to do it.
Frightening.
But yeah, the new sports published in the UK, and they've got like... We say, no, we've got like a world-class team of writers. And people like Andy Mitten, you know you're going to get decent... United coverage as well. So it's a subscription-based service. So like you sign up to it, so it doesn't mean you don't get any ads or pop-ups or any of that jazz. And we've got a code for them. So if you visit www.theathletic.co.uk/FTD, that's all lowercase, you get a 30-day free trial and 50% off a year subscription, which makes it £2.50 a month. So if you use that code...
So what's that? Theathletic.co.uk/FTD?
Yeah, /FTD, all lowercase.
Make sure you check out the T's and C's when you sign up to it, but it's a 30-day trial that you get with
for
it
for free 30-day trial, £2.50 a month. I mean, they're Athletic, the slogan is welcome to the new home of football writing, so you check that out yourself, you'll see what
it's
they're
big,
on about.
Big revolutionary thing, innit? Give it a go for a month, see if you want to be involved with
honestly, we've been checking out decent articles on there, and you know, like I said to you, with the likes of Mitten and a few others, you're going to get decent United
I think
coverage.
It is that's an I know it's going off topic, but that's The Athletic is interesting because I have often thought recently that traditional journalism is dead. Like newspapers are dead. Like,
don't say it.
The way the Sun get their
BBC radio
shows. I know
shows.
What you're going to say next. The way radio the Sun, is dead.
I don't think the radio is dead, though, because of driving. But the way the Sun get their figures up for the sales is they give millions away in airports and this, that, and the other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they don't actually sell as many as they claim to sell. So when they say they're the best-selling newspaper, they're not actually. They are the most read because there's a lot of bellends in this country.
Yeah, don't buy the Sun, in my opinion.
Like, it's interesting now that you've got a subscription-based, online-based newspaper almost.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
You know what they've done, though? Like someone with Athletic, they're getting all this hype, a lot of people talk about them because they go out there and they get the top journalists, the top sports journalists that you know and you recognise, and then they get them to write for you, rather than coming along with clickbait, getting the clicks, and then employing.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, but it does worry me a little bit about journalists. Obviously, I'm a journalist. I was a reporter for years, and it's a struggle. It was a struggle with you know, reporting.
Then you ended
stories.
Up here.
And then ended up sat between Adam McCullough and Andy Tate. And it's like, do you know what? I remember I always say this. When we used to go out, when I used to work as a reporter, we used to go out in this bus to schools. Don't worry, I've been CIB'd. And we used to talk to kids about getting into journalism. So I remember going to school once.
Came to my school when I was 10.
It did. And he said, like, who's the most famous person you've ever interviewed, right? And that, on the name drop, but I said, like, you know, Wayne Rooney or
Clang.
Like, yeah, or David Cameron if you're into politics. And one of them said, have you ever interviewed Andy Tate? And you know what the sad thing was? I had.
I thought you were going to say the sad thing was I hadn't.
No, I had.
Highlight.
So I was like, yes. Yeah, they were loving it.
Career highlight.
But right. No, yeah, the Bala's not happening. We know that. Ericsson's not happening. We know that. Is there anyone else that could be under the radar?
We don't know. It could be.
Have you heard of anyone else, Mac? Come on, you're ITK.
I said it this last summer. If we didn't sign a centre back, we weren't going to do anything. And I felt the same this summer about a central midfielder and a centre back still. But what's happened is our ineptness in past windows is catching up with us in these windows. This window, we shouldn't have been relying on signing a centre half. We should have been focusing on replacing Matic. But instead, because we had homework left over from last week. You know what I mean? We had homework left over from last week. We got this week's homework and we got next week's homework dropping in 2 days. So it's like trying to juggle all this and catch up. It's just not happening. And United
they've had all summer to do this. And Ollie wanted it all done before the pre-season tour and it wasn't even done.
But I'm not blaming Ollie, by the way.
I'm not blaming Ollie.
But he said recently, oh, we've got no time left now. The deadline's here. I'm thinking, bruv, you just like know.
Exactly.
Ed Woodward knows transfer season's coming soon. Why not sound out Crystal Palace in April and say, yo, Palace, let's get these negotiations started right now for Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Aaron Wan-Bissaka was always going to come to Man United.
Yeah, no,
Harry
right.
Maguire was always going to come to Man United.
Yeah, right.
These are easy deals that that have taken us all summer.
We've got bankers that are negotiating transfers, right, not sports people. And all they want to pin. This is last summer has caught up with them now. They were embarrassed last summer and the team suffered for it and there was absolute uproar and the penny dropped with them. Oh God, what we're going to do? We've got to appease the fans. And now they're still doing it though. It's penny pinching. Every penny counts at that club.
You got to wait. You know what? The whole, going back to what you were saying then about the midfield, it's madness, you know. And I think they get away with it, right? The fans not all fans, but some fans believe the sort of narrative of like, you know, we got rid of Fellaini and everyone was like, oh, he's not good enough anyway, who cares? Right? Most people were. Then Herrera goes and it's like, oh, he's too greedy. We offered him a deal, but he was going to get more at PSG. So, you know, good riddance. And you look at it, you've lost two experienced midfielders who played a lot for Manchester United and you've not replaced him. And it doesn't look like we're going to. And yes, you know, you've got Maguire, you've got Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Daniel James. That's not going to sort out your midfield problem. And as much as we rate Scott McTominay, I think we all do. Why have we not bought a midfielder?
I like Scott McTominay. I see him as an ideal squad player.
Right, there you go, a squad
player.
But
right now, he's our first choice.
That's what I mean. And it's like, I've got to the point where we've sold two first-team midfielders.
And we're about to sell our main striker.
Yeah.
And not replace any of them.
That is fucking madness.
I think your likes of Pereira, Ollie really rates. And I think he's going to get loads of games next season.
I love Pereira.
I'm not sure about.
He's absolutely mint. And him...
Is he?
Him and Fosu-Mensah have long been my favourite youngsters to come out of that era of youngsters in the academy. But the thing with Pereira is he's mint in pre-season when there's no pressure on.
Yeah.
He's mint in reserves and there's no pressure on and he can mess around trying to score corners. Whenever the big games have come for United, he hasn't delivered. He's the pre-season Pirlo. He's amazing in Pirlo, in pre-season.
Unless you play Southampton and score for that 35
yards. Yeah, so that's the thing about midfield. There's too many questions. We could have brought in, say, Eriksen or a Fernandes or someone in that attacking midfield and maybe have got by with a Fred and a McTominay and Matic in defensive midfield.
But we're
lacking numbers. We're lacking quality. The only midfielder that would get into any of our rivals is Paul Pogba.
We're doubting these guys, man. We've had times in the past where Darren Fletcher's come in and done like 9, 10 out of 10 seasons.
But Darren Fletcher had Roy Keane and Paul Scholes and Owen Hargreaves.
There's players in our team currently, midfielders, who we've maybe not seen enough of to make our mind up on. Fred could have an absolute dynamite of a season this year.
Too many question marks.
There's so many question marks at the minute. We've not had them answered yet.
Like,
who knows?
It's like, right, you mentioned there Dan Fletcher and you were saying about how he had a Keane and all the rest of it. You can get away with bringing players through. We've always said this. When you've got a very good team of experienced, international, top quality players, yeah? So when you bring in someone like a Dan Fletcher to play alongside Keane or to play alongside Carrick or whatever, it's a lot easier. When you're throwing in Scott McTominay as your holding midfielder alongside an Emmanuel Matic whose legs have gone or... you're putting in a Pereira who the question marks whether he's a Premier League player are still there in a team.
On
in a team that's made up of quite a few.
And we used to be able to get away with being able to carry one player.
Like Tom Cleverley's got a Premier League winners medal. Disrespect to Tom Cleverley. Anderson's got about five. Do you know what I mean? Like, why did these players win all these titles? It wasn't because they were amazing. It was because they were in a team full of superstars. Now we're not at that level.
Marcus Rashford and Anthony Martial for a Fergie side.
Look,
I wish those boys never spent 2-3 years with Mourinho, man.
Look, it's that easy for us to criticise these players and think, you know, we've not seen a lot from some of these boys or we've not seen enough for us to be confident for the new season. But the players who, like you say, have question marks over them, we're not sure if they're good enough yet.
Matic
could step up from last season. He had an all right season last season. Next season, he could be brilliant.
Our defence ain't an issue.
Lindelof could be brilliant. Same with Fred. McTominay could step up. But this is the problem. We're relying on so many question marks coming good.
If it was
next
one or
season.
Two, if it was like maybe Shaw will step up, even though I get where you come from defence, maybe Fred can be an answer. What you're saying, maybe Shaw, maybe Fred, maybe McTominay, maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe we can rely on one of the youngsters. It's just a lot to ask.
Even players who have been here a few years, Marcus Rashford, there's still question marks over him in some respects. Is he right to lead the line? Martial, is he right to start every week? You know what I mean?
All six, all seven time for them boys.
I tell you what.
Rooney Ronaldo season coming. Rooney Ronaldo, 6-0-7 is Martial, Rashford, 19-20.
You know what, right? People forget, right? Going back to that, the 06-07 season. League. Do you remember it? After 06, right, and not lying to you, when we got knocked out of the World Cup and Ronaldo winked, the amount of journalists who were saying Fergie should get rid of Ronaldo.
Right? United fans were saying that.
Get rid of him, he's a disgrace, he's overrated.
I knew that wink at that time meant nothing to do with winning the game.
It was in the days after the game, everybody was pissed and angry.
Said it, didn't you, Andy? You're defending yourself.
I wanted Ronaldo gone, not fuck. Because it was fucking in England, you just got shafted in the quarterfinals, you know what I mean?
But who cares? Look, this is what happened. Rooney got sent off. Good, he should have got sent off. Rooney gets sent off, walks off the pitch. Ronaldo's manager then says to him, yo, Ronnie, can push up a little bit now. You know, a bit more space, and he goes, no problem.
Winks.
That's all that happened. Something happened like that.
Yeah,
he went,
you're missing,
no problem.
I mean, you know what English football fans are like. It's never our fault.
And then, also, secondly, United are greater than England. We all agree.
Yeah. That doesn't stop people being England fans.
So who cares about... You don't put England above United. It's that simple. Ronaldo is a United... So forget that. But there was rumours at the time he was going to leave anyway.
But his house got vandalised, didn't it? There was rumours he was going
to
leave.
Rumours that he wanted to leave.
He did best with, like, United and England.
Burning United shirts with Ronaldo on. I remember seeing that. People were burning Ronaldo shirts.
I'm glad social media went
about not United times. Fans, though.
But I just remember
rival fans. That's the Scousers that burn their own shirts, isn't it? With, like, Suarez and
Gerrard.
When he wanted to go to Chelsea. So the gangster sat him down Gerrard. And told him, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
so.
Do you remember when Gerrard wants to leave Liverpool and then he was like, yeah, I've had a change of heart. I really love this place, but not because you had like a bomb in the mail or something.
Not because of eight guys in balaclavas.
Imagine that was when he wants to go to Chelsea. Imagine he wants to go United or something.
Nah, that's what I mean. Remember when Rooney thought he might be going to City?
Yeah, some people on his wall
as well. Yeah. Rio's house when the Maskeezers went
that's
to his
what
house.
Mean, that's what Rio. I mean.
Rio when he was he rejected a contract. Yeah, pictured with Peter Kenyon.
Was that when Reddish started calling him Wobble Gob or something like that? Started going Wobble Gob.
Reddish shoe was amazing, wasn't it?
It was back in the day.
Like, I used to read, the first time I bought Reddish shoe was by accident because I thought it was official program. Mm. Like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Reading it on the way home, Dad,
this program is raw.
Reddish shoe.
And then
back
I
would
just
day.
Never, then I had it from every week after that.
All the characters, Bertie Magoo, the bit of blue. Jimmy
blue.
Reeves, the man from Leeds.
My favourite one was
Sticky
the J-Stan Grumbler.
What?
The J-Stan Grumbler. He was the best one. That was the best
K-Stan
one.
Favorite. Sticky Fingers, the Thieving Scouts. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But you know what's weird? Like, a lot of the cartoons that were in fanzines back in the day, like the jokes, are those jokes that you get sent 1,000 times on WhatsApp by your uncle. You're just like, God's sake. It's the kind of thing he loves.
I love fanzine humour. I don't care. I love that humour.
We miss fanzines, but the fanzines that are there, United We Stand and Red News, make sure you support them.
Buy it.
You're at the ground. When you're at the ground, buy the fanzine.
Because the thing is, like, half time, you can't get any signal anyway. You need something to read.
And the official magazine's like, we're sitting sixth in the league, and the official magazine's like talking all happiness.
Yeah, I know. You don't want that.
When Van Gaal was manager, me and Tomo were doing the quiz at United We Stand and everyone was joining us in the middle of the game. We were sat with a quiz and everyone was joining in and it was like halfway through the first half because the football was that dire.
I can see that.
It was like, oh, I know that one. Matt Robbins. Yeah. And it was just like, we sat there for like 20 minutes, just did a quiz.
Mega.
So, yeah. Hopefully we won't be doing that this season, otherwise the wheels have proper come off.
Good fun, man.
Yeah, man.
If you're watching this before... or you're listening to this before deadline day is done, we've got a whole host of stuff on the YouTube channel for you. We're going to be live throughout the day. We don't know how we're doing this. Whether it's one continuous stream from 12 to 5, 2 to 5. But it's going to be something.
I've done one of these before. We've done this before on transfer deadline day. Like, yes, let's do a live stream all day. Signed fucking no one.
Yeah, I remember that. I did it. Was it the last
was it me
couple
and
of
you?
Years? Yeah,
it was me.
A City announced Guardiola, didn't they, on deadline day in January? They announced it. I remember that. Yeah.
No, it wasn't deadline day.
It was a deadline day.
Was it? I'm thinking of when they announced.
City announced Pellegrini.
Pellegrini was leaving because I remember at the press conference.
I remember one of the first deadline days we covered. There was no live streaming then. So we just recorded like 4 or 5 different videos throughout the day. United never signed anyone. So it was just me sat in a room recording loads of different videos trying to talk about things like... I think it was David Moyes' first summer, the first January.
But we got Matt, didn't we, before the deadline?
Yeah, halfway through, wasn't it?
Yeah, we got Fellaini the window before.
That deadline day under Moyes, in terms of just... comedy value and entertainment was probably the best because you had like the imposters for the Ander Herrera thing. You had the half 10 bid for Fabio Quantrao.
And then he was crying.
It was just
you know when you only know you wanted something for half an hour but you're still really gutted when you don't get it.
it was just madness. And it was like
a couple of years ago you say on deadline day you see the Arsenal fans when they sound Mesut Ozil and they think, oh yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, you know, it's true as well because a lot of times you hear about there's players you really gutted about missing out on. And you look at them now and it's like, where are they now?
I know, man.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's so many players and you think about it over the years that you've been gutted to miss out on.
Somebody threw a dildo line on Sky once.
No, just threat held it in the guy's ear.
Sky deadline days, the best bit about it is, you know, you go to Watford, see the fans there, go to Chelsea, go to United, and then it's like, and now over to Stoke, and it's just the gremlins behind the presenter.
Do you remember when they were like cheering? I think was it Cameron Jerome or someone they bought? Who got like one goal in his career, and they're like, yeah.
Turned up in a tag.
That's going to be us when we sign Lukaku and sign Cameron Jerome and a free.
But do you know what? The deadline day that always smashes it for me, even though it's actually the beginning of the end, so it should have been sad because City bought Rubinho.
I remember the picture through Old Trafford through the glass.
Yes.
Where it was really
shaking out
Rubinho. It was kind of like, yeah.
Wasn't the suggestion that Fergie went to Manchester Airport to pick him up?
I think that was nonsense. But
I like to say that
it was good
real.
Because it was exciting. Story. It was funny as well because I remember like all the shit was going on with City had just got all this money and were trying to buy anyone they could. And then like Rubinho, because he wanted out of Real Madrid so badly, he didn't even know where he was going. He was like, he thought he was going to Chelsea, didn't he? Do you remember his press conference when he said, as soon as Chelsea came in for me, I was happy to leave. And someone said, you've signed for Manchester City. And he was like, oh yeah, them as well. And like, they got Rubinho. And he like went to the Etihad and you had like three people outside the Etihad and go, yeah, we got Rubinho.
That was
like,
the maddest thing. Because
rubbing their Kaká tattoos.
Yeah. Like, what is going on here? What is he doing there?
Kaká, Torres, Ronaldo, Henry, they were getting them all.
That's what I mean. They were bidding for everyone.
But if you remember Blackburn when the Venkies first went in, letting Indians down, by the way, these Venkies. When Venkies first got in, then they were linked immediately to Beckham and Ronaldinho. And Ronaldinho was in talks.
Do you know why the Venkies sacked Allardyce?
2010 Venkies coming.
Because you remember when we played, you'll know this because you love him. We played Blackburn and Berbatov scored 5 goals and we won 7-1. The Venkies invited all the mates over, right? Because I used to cover Blackburn as a reporter. They invited all the mates over from India to Old Trafford. And we're like, we've bought Blackburn. This is our club playing Manchester United. We're at Old Trafford. This is us. And we got absolutely battered 7-1.
This back is to the shit. Chicken.
Who's the manager? He's gone. Get Steve Keane in.
Steve Keane! Fuck off, Steve
What
Keane.
A blast from the past, Steve Keane.
Not heard that name since he was a manager.
I like playing this game with people. Just say random names from football past.
That's mad, though.
That you haven't heard of in a long time.
Steve
like Phil
Keane.
Babb.
Jason McAtee.
Benito Carboni. Remember him?
Oh,
he was good.
Mate.
Gold boots.
Muzzy, is it?
Leicester City. That reminds me of one season when I used to collect fancy Premier League stickers. Muzzy, is it? Was in every fucking pack.
Used to have this problem with El Hadj Diouf.
I remember the exact card, and his smile looking back at you every time.
Every single time.
You know what?
Right.
El Hadj Diouf was just on a different level.
I'd have loved him at United.
Really? Yeah,
just mental. Not when he spat at me in his
football sticker.
Hey, you know what, right? Yeah, you know what? We're talking about El Hadj Diouf, and it's reminding me.
Talking random football names.
Right, well, should we talk a little bit about, I don't want to bring the tone down, but the situation at Bolton, situation at Bury.
Right.
What's happening with those
with the
two?
Wanky Wanderers.
Right, two football
clubs. Haven't they got like 4 first-team players?
That have an incredible history in this city, and how it has been allowed to get to this situation where they don't know when they're going to be playing. They don't know if they can play the players. They don't know if they're going to be a football club even for much longer. I don't understand it with the amount of money in the English game that any club can get like that, especially a club like Bolton. They were in the Premier League not long ago.
I understand when people say there needs to be fail-safes in place to stop this from happening in football and protections. I disagree with that because ultimately football clubs are businesses. Hmm. So football clubs are businesses and a owner just absolutely fucks them up. You can't then just bail them out.
I don't think football
clubs... You can't just bail them out. Like, so it doesn't make sense. But I understand, like, there needs to be more done in terms of vetting people who buy
totally. Clubs.
This is
now, with this this fit and proper stuff, I think it's absolute rubbish. Anyone can buy a football club. Like,
Portsmouth had 9
all the time. And that's where it needs to be resolved. Who buys football clubs and how they get vetted, rather than football needs to save these clubs. Ultimately, football doesn't need to save these clubs. Why should clubs that have managed to run themselves properly and be financially sensible have to bail out another business that has just gone broke.
We're saying this as Manchester United fans, about £700 million
in debt. Imagine Tesco goes broke tomorrow and Lidl are like, oh.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
Oh, I'll save
Tesco
you.
Doesn't have thousands of fans who turn up every week. He has millions of customers. It, you know, it means a lot to them in the heart. If you
tell
Tesco,
that to Betty, who goes there every Friday?
Yeah, but if they lose Tesco, they go Sainsbury's instead. If you lose your football club, you're not going to start following another football club.
No, I know that, but ultimately they are businesses. And if they are mismanaged and they run into the ground, then you can't expect free money.
They shouldn't be classed as normal businesses.
He's got a point.
They're too important to the community.
Yeah, exactly. If your town hasn't got a football team, it wipes off the map. You lose your identity.
There needs to be more involved in fan ownership.
Yes.
And more protections in place for people who are taking over clubs. Maybe there needs to be a central bank account where they leave X amount of money just so you know that you can afford wages and so on for an extra year if you end up with £0. Maybe something like that needs to be done.
Because you're talking about it, right? You know, the prim and proper person test, whatever, is a load of garbage. We've seen clubs at the lower end. Was it Chester who went under and had to start again?
Yeah.
A different club. It were, like, being used for money laundering. We've seen, like, you know, just people who've just got no money saying, yeah, we'll buy this club. Like at Pompey, where they had an owner after owner and then it was just administrator.
Pompey? Was that under Julius Caesar?
That's how we pronounce it in Salford, don't you know? Pompey. And it's like, but I know what you're saying about now. You're saying like, oh, we should help them out or bail them out. And it's like, you know, it's like the banking crisis, not to get all deep, but why should we all bail out people that have just
look at Coventry City.
Well? You know what I mean?
They're playing their own games now at Birmingham.
At St. Andrews, yeah.
Yeah, St. Andrews. So basically, the town hasn't got a football team. You've got to go out 10 miles up the road to go and watch your football team when it's not in the city centre. Because they have to rent the ground.
It's
for
like
some,
America when they...
you know what I mean?
Yeah, let's move the franchise over to the other side of the world. Other side of the country. Don't we lie to
you won't put it past them gobshites at Old Trafford to move the club and fucking move it somewhere else. And if it's possible,
I don't be that worse.
It won't happen.
Bring it to Cheshire.
You know,
Cheshire
like in The Simpsons,
Cheshire
when you get,
United.
You get a helicopter just come up and pick the stadium up.
The isotopes.
The M6.
Yeah, the isotopes. Yeah, remember that? Yeah.
Oh, God.
I blame Manchester City.
Anyway. Random football names.
It's all their fault.
If this season goes like it is, then I hope Darren Huckabee.
Darren Huckabee.
That's a great name, Darren Huckabee.
James Beattie.
Oh.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank.
Oh. I remember a 3-3 draw. Claudio Ranieri's first game at Old Trafford. First game as Chelsea manager. I was at that match. We drew 3-3. I was devastated then. When we used to draw games, it used to feel like a defeat to young.
Yeah, that was our team. From 99 to 2001, we could not be touched. We were the fucking top dog in fucking English football. You could go to the stadium and go, we ain't going to lose this. Walk out with a smile on your face. But like I said, when we drew with that, I thought, fucking hell, feels like a defeat, 3-3 with Chelsea.
I remember losing against 2001 FA Cup, or 2001, when Barthez did that to Di Canio. And I remember leaving like, that was the first defeat I saw United.
Really?
That wasn't, no. The first, I saw United lose 3-0 against York City, actually.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah. That was cold-blooded murder.
He was in the York City team. He went on to win the Champions League with Manchester United.
Jonathan Greening.
Oh, he's got it.
What was your first game? Do you remember your first game?
My first game was Southampton in the mid-80s, but I don't remember it very well, other than Peter Shilton was in it for Southampton, and I recognised him off the telly because I was only about 5. But the first game I remember properly was in the Rumbelows Cup against the Scousers, and we won 3-1. And Mark Hughes scored an absolute worldie from about 25 yards.
Can I remember my 1983 United v West Bromwich Albion, Arthur Graham got 2. Gordon McQueen, actually I was stood at the front with my dad, and Gordon McQueen, I was waving at him, and he's like, give me the thumbs up. When you're like 6, 7, 8 years old, you buzz off that, 8 years old.
What was your first game?
Sheffield Wednesday, we won.
You told
me Scholes that. Scored as I was about 5, 6. But Sheffield Wednesday, I always have a thing for Sheffield Wednesday.
I think 2001 or 2002, when was it that we played Leverkusen at Old Trafford and we drew, but it knocked us out of the Champions League.
Oh,
and away
2-2 draw with Ballack scored.
Yeah. And I was at that. That was my first year.
You were at the
game.
Old Trafford game?
Yeah.
Ballack scored in that game.
It was the first leg, wasn't it? We had to go over there to win.
Yeah, and then... when we went there, Forlan hit the bar.
Off the line in the last minute as well.
What's that? By Leverkusen, we went out on away.
That was my first game.
Arsenal won the league at Old Trafford.
Remember that? We lost a couple of semis. Dortmund knocked out one semi.
Dortmund,
as well.
Monaco.
Remember my mate came up to me in a club once and he went, there's a guy over there in the Dortmund top. done it at the end of this night. I was like, what?
Allegedly.
Nothing happened to him. We were only 17. Give us a break.
We're only 17 with shanks. Random football names, go.
Oh, fuck you, don't put me on the spot. I don't know.
David White.
Oh,
mate.
Dean Saunders.
Oh, Eddie Akinbaye.
Pierre Van Hooijdonk. Oh, that's a name.
Nigel Riococca.
Oh, that's a great one. Remember when he was linked with United for a long time?
Shaka Hislop.
Shaka Hislop.
I'm just thinking that West Ham FA Cup final
best black goalkeeper ever. Shaka Hislop.
Shaka Hislop was an absolute tank, mate.
Does Tim Howard not qualify?
Maybe. I got Tim Howard signed.
Saying that, I'll never forgive Tim Howard for Porto.
I've got Tim Howard signed and worn gloves.
Tim fucking Howard?
Signed and worn gloves, Tim Howard. So if anyone wants to buy them off me.
£3.
You know what I used to remember? I used to love watching him when we'd have a free kick to defend and he'd just be there swearing at everyone. Just like standing there lining up his free kick. Sorry if anyone's got Tourette's, but it was funny, like just watching him there. Like,
we don't mean it in an offensive way. It's
like, fuck shit.
Do you know what's funny as well? What's going on? You got Tim Howard signed gloves. My missus got a signed Romelu Lukaku top.
Oh, yeah. Actually won at full-time Devil's quiz. That definitely wasn't fixed.
She's like, that's, you know, what should I do with this? So just fucking sit in the bin. Then she's like, can I get the writing off it?
Oh, imagine that. Getting an autograph.
Can it come off?
We'll just wear it and wash it until it goes.
Like, don't
can
worry
do that. It can be done.
The khaki top.
I still got my Mourinho signed shirt.
Who's the one player, though, Maka? Talk about random footballers. United were linked with that we didn't get.
Patrick Kluivert.
That you regret the most.
Patrick Kluivert.
Yeah.
Andy Tate.
And Ronaldinho, actually.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. Ronaldinho. In my lifetime, he's the main one.
But Patrick Kluivert was, when I was a kid, I remember just before we signed Dwight York, it was like, oh, fucking Kluivert's going to come to you. He's going to come to United. And then he went to Barcelona, didn't he?
He went to Barcelona. I remember we were all chanting to him in 99, you should have signed for a big club.
And then Dwight York came to us. And I was upset, like, oh, we're signing a bloody Villa striker, like Villa as shit. Like, who cares? And
the Dutch lad obviously went to Bayern Munich. Oh, what was it? Oh, he's just retired now.
Wesley
Schneider.
He never went to Bayern Munich. Trying to remember him.
He played for Bayern Munich?
No, never.
Schneider
played for Bayern Munich.
I don't know.
Inter Milan?
Inter Milan, yeah.
Galatasaray?
I remember him, but I thought he was linked with United and we didn't get him.
I was a little bit good, but not like...
No, I was. I wanted him.
I think for me, it was Ronaldinho. Because it looked so much like it was happening. You're in school.
No, it was happening.
Lads!
It was happening.
Ronaldinho's coming.
And we never sold Barcelona Beckham. So then they had the money left to go and get Ronaldinho. If we sold them Beckham, we would have got Ronaldinho, but we wouldn't have got Cristiano Ronaldo.
See, it's interesting, isn't it?
For me, it was Batistuta. Loved by
remember when he scored? See,
he would have been mental.
I just have weird memories. Roy Carroll when he let one through his hands.
Oh,
I was behind that goal. Pissed off, like fucking Roy Carroll. But then I was half of me was like, I've got to see Batistuta.
That's what I mean.
Right,
man.
We've done so much reminiscing in today's podcast.
No, but can I just say something about Batistuta?
Go on.
When you go home, everyone watched as a free kick he scored for Fiorentina, which is about 6 yards, 7 yards out. It was obviously a pass back. And you never see the ball move, you just hear the net go. Like it makes a surreal noise. Please go and find that goal and watch it and just listen to the net noise.
Gonna have to have a listen to that.
Net noise is great.
Yeah, we've done loads of reminiscing in today's podcast, but let's not forget we are starting the Premier League season. This is the last podcast.
The reason we're reminiscing
is
because
insight and analysis you get on full time.
We reminisce about times when we were successful to say this.
Yeah.
It's coming back.
It's sort of a nice link. It's a lead. It's leading, you see.
Exactly. And we've had players, we've had teams poorer than the team we've got this season and won the league with
them. No, we haven't.
No, probably not.
Probably not, really.
Never has that happened in the history of Manchester United football.
Probably not, actually, yeah. Right,
right. You can literally pick any Premier League winning team we've ever had or any league winning team we've ever had, and it's better than our current squad.
Because the midfield is just...
Fergie's last season.
The only
Fergie's
player...
last season... Are you nuts? For me, Rio's best season. I still say that.
And you know what? Rooney was even good for the first Moyes season. For the Moyes season,
no, I wasn't.
He was our best player that season.
Was sick. Carrick was still.
Van Persie dragged us for a few months.
And then you're looking at back four. You know, Rio, I thought had a mint season.
Rafa,
Evra, Vidic had his last Well, it's obviously
that like, pissed me off. That, let's not talk about that because I love Evidic and what he did that season really.
Right, all right then. Who's starting first game of the season? What's the team?
We're changing our mind now. I said Lukaku.
I think last time. I would say.
Oh, no, I'm going to do this in the preview.
That defense has picked itself for Sunday, definitely.
So De Gea,
Maguire,
yeah. Lindelof,
that's it.
Wan-Bissaka, and Shaw.
Defense is done.
McTominay.
It's got to be McTominay. Pogba.
Lingard.
I can see Mata.
No, well, no. Is his front three not Lingard, Martial and Rashford?
Lingard, Martial, Rashford, Mata, I think.
I can see, yeah. Mata,
I don't think Daniel James will start and I don't think he should start.
I think he'll play a part, though.
Yeah, he'll come off.
He'll come on.
If we need him, especially.
I think we're going to beat Chelsea. 3-0.
I think it's going to be a shit game, mate. Shit game, 0-0.
Hopefully, I hope it's not one of them.
VAR will fuck up this season. It will.
We ain't even got a screen at Old Trafford to watch.
So are we going to know what the hell's going on?
You know what United should do? They should make an app. Well, first they need to give everyone Wi-Fi connection in there.
We've already got the VAR
decisions on our phones.
Mate, that's really cool.
Because it's out of order that. That's an idea there. You've got all these sponsors at United. Get an app sponsor. You've got an app.
But will we have to unfollow it again, though?
Oh yes, yeah,
that's the thing. I wasn't even following the United thing, so I had to follow them.
Here's one
to unfollow them all.
VAR, on Instagram,
just a waste of 10 minutes of my life.
VAR this season, will a team walk off the pitch?
No,
seriously. No, seriously. If it's controversial,
go on.
A team, some team will get. It'll cost them some at the end of the season or during the season. Will a team walk off?
Because you two twat. I fucking hope a team walks off now, and I can fucking play that back to you and say Andy told you.
Do you remember when Leo tried to walk off
when Gary Neville started getting involved and Ferg went mad at him?
Anything's possible in football. A team can walk off. All right. They might go back on after 5 minutes, but the stadium will be absolutely
sort of thing
wrong.
Liverpool would do. You know it. You know Klopp's getting his team off the pitch.
A Premier League prediction like that.
A mad Premier League prediction.
Team will walk off for 5 minutes
all right,
a season.
An animal that's going to be on the pitch at some point in the season.
That happens every year.
Yeah, well, what's the animal going to be? Predict.
So it's always a cat at Goodison Park.
Did you see that refereeing? Was it in Bolivia the other day? He did the VAR sign when he got VAR in that league. You've not seen it. He did a decision, like he blew a whistle, and then he ran over to the sideline, and he pointed to the penalty spot and went like that. And then like everyone on Twitter was saying, like, this is like, it went viral. This is guy.
So someone told him the decision and he pretended it.
Yeah, he pretended it was VAR, like the linesman or someone, so he went like that.
Is that your Wally of the Week?
I don't know, I quite liked him, man. I think I set examples.
Did you Wally of the Week, guys, before we go?
Dybala.
No, really? Yeah, I don't know.
No, Lukaku.
Yeah.
I think I'm probably going to go Lukaku. What's he playing at?
Yeah,
train at the club you're currently at. There's no need to go back to Anderlecht. It's just, it's embarrassing. Train at Man United, wait till your deal's sorted, then go. If it don't get sorted, guess what, mate? You're staying in the reserves. Get used to it.
Oh.
Pay you enough.
I go with Lukaku as well. You've made your bed, lay in it and rot.
Oh.
It's difficult not to say Lukaku, just the way he's treated us, man. It's just shabby.
Full house for Romelu Lukaku on this week's Wally of the Week. I totally agree with everyone. There's ways to go around it if you want to leave. If you're not first choice, you consider yourself to be first choice elsewhere. Happy days, you know, you do that. But don't take the piss out of Manchester United, the club that's paying your wages. Don't be, you know, headed like, go and train at Carrington. What's your problem? They've got facilities there. Go and use them. If you want to act professional, because that's what I think he's trying to give the impression, I'm an actual professional. So here I am, look, I'm training still with Anderlecht. If you're an actual professional, go to your football club that pays your wages, get your training in, and then wait for your move. But the thing is Bellen's been running his mouth on Twitter and posting stuff that he shouldn't have. Probably got a bollocking already from the club.
Definitely.
So therefore, his teammates and his manager are already pissed off with him. They probably don't even want to see his face. So the ability for him to act professional is gone by the fact that he acts like a clown online. I'm disappointed by that, Romelu. Like, I really am. I really wanted him to come to the club. I really wanted him to be a success. He hasn't been. And whilst some things could have been different, whilst he probably didn't deserve as much abuse as he gets online and stuff, I think you handle yourself differently. And I think he's gone about it the wrong way. So you fully deserve Wally of the Week.
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. You make the comparison with Pogba and he got on with it in pre-season. Didn't he? You were there. You saw him in the training and all the rest of it, meeting the fans.
I mean, to be honest, I'm reserving judgment with Pogba a little bit. I want to see how he actually plays. I want to see if he plays like he wants to play it.
And he well, might he has do. Been.
Yeah, but
I know it's only preseason, but
yeah, well, it's
some of the stuff.
I know, but give it a sec. Let's see. I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna turn up against Chelsea.
Anyway, guys, that's been the Full Time Devils podcast. Remember, deadline day will be live all throughout the day. We've got the Chelsea preview coming for you very, very soon this week as well. It'll be another Skype preview, fan cams at the weekend, and loads more stuff in the pipeline. So keep it locked to Full Time Devils. Make sure you're checking these guys out on social media as well. Gaz has got a new show on BBC Radio Manchester.
Weekday, 6 p.m. Talking Balls, get on it.
Monday to Friday, 6 to 7. Is it 6 till 7?
It p.m. is.
Him and his co-host, which isn't me. How dare he?
Talking
balls
Matt
on the BBC.
Phone up and cause you some trouble.
You're welcome anytime.
We've got Andy Tate on the line.
Listening for Andy Tate on Gaz's show. But yeah, guys, keep it like. Make sure you check out The Athletic as well. Yeah, the link is in the description below for The Athletic for your free trial using the full-time Devils link. With all that being said, all that's left to say is... United are winning the league.
Oh, see come on, don't
clip that up. Clip it up, mate. Inject that into my veins, that clip.
Sports Social Podcast Network. It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash. Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.